Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we are in our Bible study. We're talking about, we're finishing up part two. We started last week. We were in reviewing 28 to, and we got to chapter 30. And we stopped at chapter 30. So we're going to finish up there. We're talking about this week, prophecy against the rebels. We're still talking about Israel. Let us lift our Bibles up. Open up to study the Word of God. This is our Bible. This is our Bible. It was written for our correction. It was written for our direction. We believe it and we read it. I am what it says that I am. I can do what I says that I can do, and I can have what it says that I can have. It is the Word of the living God. Amen. Amen. So let us proceed to Isaiah chapter 30. I'm loving it. I was reading in Jeremiah. I just want to share something with you and get a little bit more into Isaiah. And chapter 30. Verses 1 to 5. And it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That walk to now let's compare verse 30 to Deuteronomy chapter 29. And I want you to hold your place at verse 30. No, we just have chapter 29. Let's go to verse 19. And it says, "And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, and he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, and though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to my hurt." So here in verse 3, the prophet, according to the word of God, says, "Woe." And we understand that woe means, okay, trouble is on the way, look out, right? And he's saying, "Woe to the rebellious children." And Moses said back in Deuteronomy, when he was given the law, that the people were going to say, you know, they make up their own laws, and it's okay to do thus and thus. And who can, I mean, just agree with me that we're in that time now where people are just making up their own laws away from the laws of God. And they think it's okay, you know, it's going to work out for me. And they said, and he said, and they said to some more that take counsel, but not of me. They go anywhere else for an answer. These people want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear from God. So if we go to verse 2, it says, "That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at dawn, and his ambassadors came to him." So when he says cover with covering, this means from an alliance. They're looking for, when you're in trouble or situations occur, you're looking for, actually look for protection. You're looking for a way out of the situation. You're looking for somebody that can join up to you. Sometimes, even when people are in a bad way or people that are making wrong decisions, they want to connect or they want to line themselves up with people that agree with them, people that agree with what they're doing. Am I right about it? So they line themselves up with the wrong type of people. So this is them forming an alliance with the wrong type of people, right? And so in verse 1, he was saying that here he's explaining that the negotiations were underway, and Isaiah condemned them. He told them, you negotiating with people. When God already done put the word out that says, I'm going to destroy you anyway. So why in the world are you seeking help from other from people, especially a normal person? And then people like Egypt. I mean, that's you were delivered from there. Your forefathers were delivered from there. And because they look like they're tough and they're bad. And sometimes people think that they get with a group of people and align themselves with a group of people, no matter how bad they are, that this is giving them the victory or they can work their way through a situation. But with God, they'll cut you off. I don't care where you go. I don't care who you talk to. I don't care who you seek and how much prayer you lay down. If God cuts you off, he cuts you off. We make a decision, the decision is made. Then see, we don't even go to God. I feel like if I'm in trouble, even if it's the Lord's doing, I'm going to go to God. Am I right about it? If you want help out of a situation, our help is in God. And so in verse 1, they started negotiating. The negotiations were underway. And Isaiah started to condemn them. These people were seeking advice from everybody but God. And when people are afraid, they search everywhere for comfort. They look for advice. They look for relief, hoping to find an easy way out of their troubles instead of going, God, what do I need to fix? We don't want to fix stuff because we like doing what we're doing. Am I right about that? People like sin because it feels good. It's a piece of the flesh at that moment. So I like what I'm doing. And so if I talk to God, he's going to tell me to stop doing it. So I'm going to find somebody that's going to agree with me. How many know that's futile? Is it? It's a waste of time, right? Amen. And so they were afraid to search to God, come to God. So they looked everywhere. They wanted relief. They wanted comfort, but they couldn't find it. They wanted an easy way out. But the only way out is consulting God. And I tell you today, I don't care what you're going through with. It behooves you not to run from one to the other seeking an easy way out, but to go directly to God. He's your way out. Amen. So if a mama can't do it, daddy can't do it, sister, brother can't do it, work can't do it, your finances can't do it, the doctors can't do it, your last hope, your should be your first person to go through anyway is God. Hello? Glory to God. Amen. So, but they went everywhere. They were trying to get help, but they were not consulting God. Now, God was the one that put this on them and said, I'm going to have Assyria destroy you. Why not go to God? I need to reason with my God. Amen. Now we told Isaiah, tell the people to come and let us reason together. Though your sins be started, I'll wash them whiter than snow. Bring me into remembrance of my word. Can he ask them that? Because if they could come directly to him. And now let me just take a break from there. Let us go to Jeremiah. And the reason I wanted to touch on this one, because I was reading, I was like, oh my God. How many love it when you read something, you say, oh, how did I miss this? Huh? Now listen, verse 19, Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord God, go and get a potter's earthen bottle. I'm sorry, chapter 19, verse 1.
Of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter.
Here it is.
Verse 7, he says, and I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their consciences will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate and its history, everyone that passes thereby thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friends in the siege and straightness wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straighten them. Then shalt thou break a bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people in this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Topheth till there be no place to bury. Listen. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city of Topheth. And the house of Jerusalem and the house of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Topheth, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they are burned incense unto all the hosts of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto the other gods. And then came Jeremiah, listen to what Jeremiah said. This came Jeremiah from Tibet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus saith the Lord, to bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened. Yeah, they were talking about it in Isaiah's time. Isaiah prophesied that this was going to happen. Jeremiah prophesied. Hello? But God brought it to pass. And we always say, well, okay, it didn't happen yet. It didn't happen tomorrow. Let me tell you something. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. And they felt it. And we read on the scripture, and we go on and find out that God did do exactly what he said. But he restored and saved the remnant like he said. But we know that God don't play. All he wants to do is bless us, but he's going to bless us, amen, bless his own children, his obedient children. We don't honor our children. We don't buy them things when they're bad. We don't honor them when they're bad and hard-headed and disobedient. We punish them, amen? So God will not do that to a gainsaying people, or people that will turn against him and worship other gods. So we're still in verses 1 to 5. And so when we read his word, again, back to Isaiah chapter 30, so when we read his word, we put action to the word in our mind, striving to do his will, we can find stability in our lives and in Christ, no matter what the crisis is, in whatever state we're in. God was not happy with the people when Isaiah was talking to them in verses 1 through 5, because they did not come to him for power or protection or even direction. They knew that God, when you know that God has all power, you say you're a servant of the living God, you call yourself a Christian, you don't have no business going to nobody else. When you find your back up against the wall, you need to cry out to God. Because not everything that comes against us is the devil. Sometimes God will send things to get us back in line, of send troubles, to send all kinds of things to accuse even your enemy to come against you to get you back in line. Hello? And all they had to do was repent and turn back to God, but they didn't. So that's why the Bible says only the remnant was saved. So they went to the kings of other nations. They went to somebody else. You know, the Bible says that we're living in a time now where people want to have itching ears. And then Jesus said, they want you to say what pleases their flesh. They don't want to hear the true word of God, but they want you to say anything that pleases them. And they want you to motivate them and tell them, you know, they're going to go to the mailbox and find a check for $1,000, and they're going to go and put their hand on a car that's going to be theirs. All this kind, they want to hear all kinds. You're going to get a 5-bedroom home, and it's not going to bless your finances. They want to hear that because it's pleasing to the flesh. Glory to God. But they don't want to hear you need to repent. They don't hear you need to stop lying. They don't want to hear you need to stop fornicating, stop sleeping around. They don't want to hear that. Stop using drugs. Stop drinking. Stop defiling the temple of God, which your body is. They don't want to hear things like that. Things that will save your soul and put you in right standing and good relationship with God, people don't want to hear that. Hello? So when you go to a church while you're still alive. Amen? That stuff is going to come back at you. Glory to God. So be careful who you align yourself with. Even in this gospel, even a gospel preacher, not everybody that breaks the pulpit is called by God. Not everybody that opens up the Bible and begins to give you a word is called by God. Come on, somebody. If you watch them long enough, the Bible says that they come here as sheep and wolves and sheep clothing. They look same because they dress the part. Hello? They talk same because they know the right word to say. But after a while, the wolves start coming out. Glory to God. So you got to be careful who you align yourself with. Glory to God. So what you agree with, that means that that's in you. Glory to God. So when we are people moved by power, prestige, and a price tag, we too will go to certain people just because of their fame. We start looking at for advice from people because they're famous, because they have money, they look like they're wealthy, they're rich, and so we'll be led by these people, and these people are not pleasing. The actions that they do and the things that we do following them are not pleasing in the sight of God, but it's pleasing to us. How about that? How about we look on what people have to judge whether they are connected to God? Just because people have wealth, you think they're connected to God? How a bum on the street eating out of a garbage can sometimes have a closer relationship to God than preachers that have been to theological school that are not filled with the Holy Spirit at all. And they're filled with book knowledge, raising the pulpit. But that bum has a relationship with God. And he's just like the Apostle Paul said, even though he's eating out of garbage can, he's content. Hello? And where he in the state that he's in, because he has a relationship with God, he understands that it ain't the wealth, but it's my connection to God the Father. Glory to God. And so the thanks to God, the people of God, we so materialistic today, especially the church today. My God in heaven, today's church is so materialistic until there's no room for God in the sanctuary no more. There's no room for God in the lives of the people. And everybody thinks that God is going on with God. And they don't. They're so separated from the Father. So we can't be moved by power, prestige, and a price tag. I don't care how high you are on the totem pole, the bishop, the archbishop, the pope, whoever you are. If you're a sinner, guess what? The Bible says, God, to all those of mine, but the soul that sinned in shall die. It doesn't matter. If you don't accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't care who you serve as Jesus Christ or not your Lord and Savior, you will in no wise enter into heaven. He said, behold, I am the door. No man can come to the Father but by me. Hello? Amen? And so he put all the commandments together. He said, I am the fulfillment of the law, but I'm leaving these two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you said, well, okay, then I can still steal and kill and do all that. No, you can't, because if you love your neighbor, you won't steal from him. If you love them, your neighbor, your friend, you wouldn't go with your wife, you wouldn't fornicate. If you love your neighbor, you wouldn't go with her husband. Come on, people. Love covers it all. A multitude of sin. Why? Because love will not let you sin. Come on. Amen. Everything you do is an adverse reaction. Everything you touch, somebody else be touched by it or have been touched by it. If you do wrong, your family is affected. And whether you like it or not, people around you are affected. So it's not just you. So love won't let you do those things. Love won't let me lie on you just because you stepped on my toe and didn't say excuse me. Come on. Love would not let me do those things. So if you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, that means that every time, every day, you're praying, you're reading your Bible, you're spending fellowship time with God. Because guess what? When you love somebody that deep, all you want to do is be with them. Oh, okay, I see. None of y'all ain't never been in love. But babies, y'all haven't been in love yet, but y'all don't grow up, y'all don't get it. When you fall in love, y'all just gonna come here head over here and thank you in love right now. But when you fall in love, you just you want to be with that person all the time. And when you leave them, you're on the phone with them. then you sneak and call them back again. Because all you want to do is spend time with them. When you love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, you can't wait to church Monday. You can't wait to church Bible study Wednesday. You can't wait to service on Friday. You just want to be in the house of the Lord all the time. At home, you're just walking around praising God in your house. You're connected. You can't wait to get home from work so you can break out in a good praise when you get home. Because of the love of God. You take your lunch break sometime and pass up food just to go sit in your car and read your Bible and have fellowship with God. Because I love him like Jesus said, with all my heart, with all my mind and my whole soul, everything is connected to him. That's the love of God. That's how he loves us. That God doesn't break his connection to us. We break our connection to him. Sin, the Bible says, separates from God. God don't cut off from us. He stands right there. But when we commit sin, we cut ourselves off from him. Amen? And so, we are people moved in that manner. We will surely lose sight of God. So what you do is you ask God for him. Follow what is best and what's wise for you. Verse 2 in the same chapter kind of coincides with 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And this is where Hezekiah was seeking a defensive alliance with Egypt and their backstabbing king. Now, this he used to line up with the devil. And so now he wanted him to go with him against the king, King Shenacherib. That's the longest name, I think, in the Bible. I think, I don't know, there's a long name in the Bible, but. King Sennacherib of Assyria. He wanted, because this man was bad. And so, now look at this. God said, I chose this army to go against you, to destroy you. How you going to find somebody? You know God got the best in. So it behooves you to fall flat on your face and repent before God than to run around trying to find somebody. Come on, go with me. You know, all of us get together. You know, we got them. And half of them, when they see all of them, hundreds of thousands of people coming at them, you look back, half of them go back home anyway. Everybody left it, two or three more. Because folks ain't going that night. Come on. People are not going to go with you to your death. It ain't going to happen. We drop us to death. When push comes to shove, they're going to push you out front. So, God began to prophesy, send a prophecy through his prophet. Against the rebellious people. We call them rebels. Those that were, they decided that, you know, they're going to do their own thing. So let us skip to verse 10. 10 and 11 says, with tears, see not, and to the prophets prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things and prophesy deceit. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. God bless you. Out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Some of Judah, they started to sell comfort in Egypt. They were seeking refuge. How many of some kind of people and saints will go out there and sin and get comfortable out here in Egypt? You got people saying, well, you know, Jesus drank a little wine. Oh, yeah. They love that one. They don't want that verse. If they don't remember nothing else, come on. They remember the Lord's Supper. They don't take it deep in that. They ain't in church to honor it. They remember that because he drunk a little wine. Wow. You do err not knowing the scripture. And so, they stopped seeking refuge because they only wanted to hear good news. They were tired of hearing bad news. They only wanted to hear good news. A prophet ain't a real witness. I'm sorry, a real prophet of God is going to tell you this where you need to line up with God. He ain't going to tell you, if you're all right, the good news he bring you is good news. Stop lying. That's good news. Or you will die. Some fornicator is going to destroy you. Stop stealing or you're going to be destroyed. This is going to lead to your destruction. That's good news, right? Warning is good news. You ain't telling telling you you're going to get a nice car and all this good stuff. You've been, I've been praying, and God didn't get nothing happening and all this kind of stuff. He's telling you that. How God going to give you? You ain't even in line with it. Line up with him. Hello, you don't even have a connection. Get your mind right. If he gave you $1 million, he wouldn't speak you no more. You'd be wasting on your own bank, back of God somewhere. I don't know. On the other side of the earth. Because you got money. People get money, they take it away from the church and they give it to the storekeeper. So they didn't want to hear from God's prophets who spoke the truth. And the time we're living in now, we need to hear the truth. If you find somebody that's preaching holiness and telling you the truth, you better stay there. Because the rest of us just want your money. And you and all this here are just in the behavior. And don't get them fighting on the end. And look at them jumping on one man, said to me, you know, I feel about the preacher, and all of his, and I go to hell, you know, this way you got to get done. Me and him, I'm going to tell me, I'm about to know you're going to be wailing and gnashing your teeth together. You're just going to be hollering and screaming. So if you know he's wrong, you better get out from under him. Hello. Pray for him and keep it moving. Glory to God. You're not tired of this little fight. You'll be fighting that pain. The Bible says forever. So people prefer you to lie to them. If the truth makes them feel uncomfortable, they want you to tell them a lie. Then they blame you when they fall into calamity. Hello? You sweeten it up and tell them because you know they want to hear something sweet. And then when they fall into calamities, then they look on you, you know, as if it's your fault. But you tell them the truth. The Bible says if you know it, you don't tell them and you allow them to go on and then die in your sins, their blood will be on your feet. But if you tell them and don't repent, if they don't repent, then it's not your fault. You just told them. Come on. I'm going to watch you messed up. And I'm not going to say a thing. And I call myself a Christian. I call myself a child of God. And I'm not even touching the fact that I'm a pastor. An apostle with an apostolic lean on my life. And I'm going to sit here and let you do wrong and don't say nothing. I don't think so. Again, I think so. Come on. Glory, I can't make you do nothing, but I can say that's wrong. God is not pleased with it. Hello, I can't tell you that. So it's my job to tell you it's wrong. Then they blame you, and they begin to wonder why God isn't moving. And start, they move the blame from you, and they transfer the blame to God. People don't want to own up to nothing they do wrong. Hello? Israel walked away. Judah, they was... But God had mercy, telling Judy, warned Judah, and said, okay, now, y'all better get it together before y'all end up like Israel, because I'm going to do something in Israel and Jerusalem. Hello. And but see, they start blaming other people. Now, they done turned away to serve his idols, turned away from God, giving sacrifices to idol God, God made by man's hands, lighting themselves up with the enemy, doing every low-down, dirty thing, every abomination they can do, even sacrificing their own children on an altar. Their own children. They sacrifice. Turn away from God. And then they blame him. When he put judgment, sent judgment to them. Come on, people. And we had to say, I don't know why this happened. Quit lying. Because you know what you did. You knew you were out of line. You know you walked away from God. You know you sinned. You know you messed up. Repent. People come and they want you to pray and pray and ask and you pray for them and you pray and they keep getting worse and worse. And you say, and then you say, well, what happened? And they can't get from away from me. I'm killing myself or nothing. Okay, don't want to pick it. You fast this work. To be serious. They walk back down and they go right back into that same mess that they wanted you to pray off of them. And they go right back and do the same thing again. Stop to withhold judgment. The devil is alive. So then they blame you and then they say, Jesus, they blame Jesus. But Jesus said, the truth is going to set you free. In John 8:32. So the miracle takes reality than the living of delusion or a lie. How about that? I love God when I'm praying and I'm calling on God in my closet and I'm crying. I can't help but cry because I think about Daniel's prayer. I think about the prayer of Jeremiah. I think about all the live in a beautiful garden where you can eat all the time. Hello. Then he said, wait a minute, let me just find something better for you, because even the animals, they said, I'm not going to eat. He took from his rib, put him 6 from his rib, and made him a woman, and said, now this is better. Bone of your bone. He said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman because she came out of me. And God said, they connect and they make one. And so now he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Everything we said on the earth is fit for us. While we're here on this earth, and we don't even know how to enjoy it. We go around and claim the land as our own. The whole earth belongs to God. We buy up land all over the place. We charge people astronomical fees to use God's stuff. God gives you knowledge. I was talking to one doctor that was talking about, well, you know, I went to, I mean, many of these prestigious schools that he went to, I said, the good and the great and that's wonderful, but you thank God for the knowledge. Right? But I went to school, I earned it, you earned it. God gave you the knowledge. But my teacher, I don't care about those instructors. God gave them knowledge. Well, they went to their school and God gave them knowledge. They could just happen, they just woke up one day and they knew how to operate on the brain. They just woke up one day and said, okay, I'm going to be a heart surgeon and knew how to have the parts of the heart, the parts of the body. This is knowledge and wisdom. That God said he placed his spirit on people for certain things to do, certain cunning works. You said you're just talented because you're talented. God gave you that gift so you can use it to the glory of God. And the people are abusing and misusing everything God gave them. You think God is pleased with that? Do we think he's pleased with that? He is not pleased with that. Not one bit. Amen. And so we take going to church is just something to do. In fact, let me go to church. I'll go to church after we take for the year. I'll call the meeting. Let me get on in there. But it's not just something to do. It's not just a place to go. It's your life. It's who you are. Glory to God. Amen. It's who you are. I tell people, you're the best driver that the world is going to ever be. They can never pick up this book. He can read you, and you call yourself a Christian, they all will be able to see the word of God in you. And you don't have to walk around with scriptures on your t-shirt or written on your pen. But the life that you live, they'll know that you are a child of the living God and you're a Christian. And it's something about you that makes them want to follow you. They don't say nothing right here. But one day, something will happen. It'll strike home and they'll remember. Or, you know, I met this guy, or, you know, I go to school with this girl, or this guy, and let me call them and see if they know how to get prayer. Because they'll remember you. You'll make a lasting impression on them. Glory to God, amen. There are people that make impressions, but the true impression is children, how you live, how people read you. Don't let them read you as an X-rated magazine. Yes. The way some people dress, all I see is playboy and, you know, playgirl and all this kind of stuff. And then you get married to the guy, come at you and say all kind of nasty, low down stuff to you. Well, you already put yourself out there. You get mad for you. You put yourself out there. Glory to God. Cover it up. So, verse 15. Let's go down to verse 15. And it says, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning the rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you will not. So God warned Judah that turning to Egypt and other nations for military might could not save them. You say so, you have it saying all along. It won't. Nothing. And no one can save you from the wrath of God. Bible said it's a horrible, a belittling God. Only God can save. Understand that. And I was reading in my studies in Jeremiah, and I can't wait to start this Jeremiah. But this thing was getting to me, and I was reading this, and God in one scripture said, I don't care when Jeremiah was crying out for the people, I don't care if Moses or Samuel stood before me, I would not change my mind for what I said I was going to do to this. I read that. Hello. coming, but he's waiting patiently because he don't want nobody to step in. That's a loving God. Who wouldn't love a God that has so much mercy on us and our wicked, hard-headed, stiff-necked, our mean, hateful self? Glory, but he still has so much mercy on us. My God, I just love loving on him. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, whoa! And I mean, you know, God could have wiped us out a long, long time ago. Even right now, at any moment, we don't know it. We could just, today might be, it could end today, it could end tonight, it could end in the next few minutes. We don't know when God is going to move, but look at him, how gracious he is and his mercy. Paul said, where sin is, grace abounds. Even the more, with your sinful ways, God still overshadows you with grace. Oh, my God. How could you not? How could you not serve him? How could you even get him out of bed in the morning time and don't even think? Glory to God. We can't help but glorify him. My God, only he can save. So if we believe to turn back to God and trust him and wait patiently for him. So no matter how you talk or try to reason with it, God moves in his own time. Sometimes you get so patient, so impatient, and God tells you he got you waiting for a reason. Sometimes God won't allow us to have certain things because it's not good for us. And we know God knows better for us than we did for ourselves. But we want certain things because it looks good, sounds good, tastes good, feels good. But God already knows that if I let you have it, it's going to destroy you. But you can wear it in the pieces. And yeah, let's just step back so take off again. And even when you fall asleep, don't look up and say, Lord, save me because he tried. Hello? You get it? He tried, but refused it. But you just had to have it. You just had to go get it. Glory. So he moves in his own time, but he's always on time. If he slow down or if he delays, he has a reason. And it's usually for your good. So give every trust, everything that you own, your family, your children. I gave my children a long time ago back to them. And I pray I always understand that whatever's going on in their life, God still got control. Come on. Amen. So glory to God. So they belong to him. And when he starts dealing with them, I just pray on the Lord just give me strength to stay out of it. Hello. Because sometimes we get in the way. I'm ready to see you respond to it. Yeah, I'll pay that for you. I'll get that for you. So I always have it where I got to stay out of the way anyway because I can't wait. I'm telling you, I love him so much. I remember the time that God made me get his testimony. I wanted this car so bad. 3 days we were trying to get this car. All day long. You know how they keep you down there. Back in them days, they keep you in the car lot forever. They don't give you that. And I wanted this car so bad. But we didn't get it. And after 2 days, that's all day long at the dealership. We didn't get it. So I was a little sad, but I was okay. What it was like a little beat up, we'd have to work and beat about stuff. Just what happened. But 3 weeks later, I lost my job and this is what this is. And I thought about that. As soon as it happened, I said, oh my gosh, God, I thank you. I started praising God. People thought I was praising. But I was bugging on praising him because I repented. And I thought about if he had let me get that car, the people would be representing it. In another month, because I wouldn't have had a job to pay for it, right? And I said, okay, God, I get it. God, you said, we had to go, Lord, that was why you did me like that. And then they're going to praise it. I'm going to try something else. But you got to understand, you got to stop, look, and listen. And you got to say, Lord, I get it. Thank you for looking out for me. Hello. That's the kind of God he serves. So he's saying, no, this is your good. Amen. Don't get mad and beat yourself up and all that kind of stuff. If you say no, it's for your good. Give every trust to him. Rest assured that he's working it out for your own good. Amen. Let's go to verses 20. I like to skip through them because I know everybody pre-read. I don't even look up pre-read, so I'm skipping through on certain points. 20 and 21 says, and when the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word beyond thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. And read 22. And ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth, and shalt say unto it, get thee in. In other words, we come to the real knowledge that who God is, we read all the other time. So God gave his people the bread of adversity, oftentimes, more often some of us than others, and the water of affliction. But he still promised to be with them. He promised to teach them. And I love it. No matter what state that we're in, we got to understand that God has not left us or forsaken us. As long as we're not in sin, we're still connected. And he promised to guide us through the hard times. There's a lesson to be learned every day on this journey. We just need to learn it. If we learn it, we go a little bit higher. The more knowledge you get, the more you know, right? The more things you can do. I have this class every Wednesday here with the ladies, with some of the ladies, my pastor's friends, and Minister Roach joined in. And every week they learn something different. I give them homework to go home and to do. But it's not just homework, but it's a do. It's an action so that you can feel you are. Because I believe in hands-on. And the more you do, the more you learn. And these are older ladies that, you know, don't have a inkling about computers, but I worked with them all my life, and so on my work life. And so now, this is something new. Some of them worked with computers way back when, but everything is different to them. And so now I'm like, what? So we started from scratch. And every week they learn something new. And I got to admit, I'm learning stuff with this. Patience is a virtue. A virtue. If you got it, thank God. I love it to see you, but yes, patience is a virtue. So I'm learning. Glory to God. So it's good. It's good. I love it. So he gives us a virtue sometimes, and he gives us affliction. Glory to God, amen. But it's just a teacher, glory to God. And sometimes following God can be painful. I always say that following God will be just like a dichotomy. One day you're up, the next day you're down. You say, oh, the Lord is a good God. He's so happy. And then something happened to burst that bubble, and he's like, oh, where is God? But that's it. And tomorrow you might be, oh, I love the Lord. Yes, I love the Lord. And the other one is like, where is God? Because it's that. Who we are as human beings. We in our emotions, we're striving to be released from our emotions so that the Spirit of God can have control to not slap us upside the head. And we're out there. And so now we're like, oh, I'm just, you know, bless you, Jesus. Because we're on the edge. Then all of a sudden, I go, okay, let me have black. And so then he said, peace. Now you're all right. Now you're back to praise the Lord every Sunday. Hello. Until we get that growth, that part to understand that Apostle Paul, when he cried out to God and said, you got to take this thorn out of my side. It's killing me. And God says, no, I will not. My grace is sufficient for you. There are some things that you're going through. There are some things that you got to bear that God won't even take from you. And you've got to bear that thing because you got to praise God with the thorn in your back. That old hard-headed child don't care. The more I do for him, the worse he gets. Praise God with that thorn in your side. Come on. Pray for him. He's a thorn in your side. I have to work husband. Yeah. you would never call on God. How many people that have everything going smooth and call on God? Some of, you know, you said, come to the altar, let us pray. Pray for what?
You ever heard somebody tell you that? You said, that's not ready to pray for what?
Yes, and then people say, I have to stop and look for a few minutes. What?
You can't believe your ears. Pray for what?
Pray just to pray. Because God says men are always praying, not faint. So I got to give you a reason.
Let me give you a resume of prayer. That you got to have a reason to pray.
Amen?
So he's going to bring you out. No matter what you're going to do, just understand. He demands a lot from us, but he does everything for us out of his love for us. He's working on our behalf. Glory to God. When you're in the valley, stop fighting to get out and tell people you need to stop struggling so much when you're going through something and stop praising God in your struggle. When you're down in the valley, sometimes the fight can get you deeper in the dirt. But if you just begin to praise God and glorify him, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace, they went in there praising and glorifying God, and I'm not saying, you know, literally, but they went with their mind on the Lord. Because they knew that these people delivered them out of them. They wasn't afraid of the fire. He was in there with them. When Daniel went into the lion's den, he laid down with the lions because God had already shut the lions out and made them peaceable with him. When you've got that kind of trust in God, in your valley experience, you will have a mountaintop victory.
My God in heaven. See, I gave you that one for free. It ain't cost nothing. Nobody got it, but it was free. When you're in the valley, stop fighting so hard. Worship God. Love on him while you're there. My God, we love that. God loves it when we can praise him when we're hurting. When we can praise him when things ain't going right, when we're robust or disgusted. Head nodding, no sky, it can't beat nobody head long. Amazon used to say, that was their little rhyme. I remember all their rhymes. They had some crazy rhymes coming up when they were kids. She was my baby sister, so I remember the little things that little kids did. And so he is there with you, and he'll bring you out. You can't suffer nothing that God don't already know. God saw it coming, and some of it he sent. He prepares us for it. Our daily existence is preparation for what's coming the next day. So we got to live each day upright before God. The Bible said to take no thought for tomorrow because tomorrow is going to bring its own troubles. Now, he didn't say tomorrow is going to bring good stuff. He said tomorrow is going to bring its own troubles. And I read that scripture over and over. When I first read that, just kept reading that there's own troubles. Maybe I missed the good part. Maybe I missed what he said, but I see good stuff. You know. But he said, don't worry about tomorrow. Live each day as if it were your last, only unto the Lord. So if you live today consecrated unto God, if tomorrow brings trouble, you already prepared for it. It's not a surprise to you. Am I right about that? So you ain't surprised by it. You ain't affected by it. And so now you can move on and see that's when the enemy get upset. Well, come on, me. Man, she ain't even messed up. Oh, that is fine. I had her today and she going by and I don't know when all upside his head and he says, oh my God, it's good. Huh? What's up with you? Because you already prepared yesterday. Tomorrow is an unpromised day. Remember? Tomorrow's not promised to no man. So if I make it to tomorrow, I'm ready for what tomorrow brings because yesterday, when I was in yesterday, I was serving and glorifying God and getting closer to him in the scriptures by reading the scriptures and praying and hearing the word of God preached by the men and women of God and receiving everything. So I was so connected to God. So when I come into tomorrow and get a slap in the face, I really can seriously turn the other cheek.
Y'all get that one.
So when trouble comes,
you can move on.
See, we ain't got time to stop whatever you're going to do, I said, I called and had my number changed. It was too much, and I didn't want to just say no. And this people so sweet, and I couldn't say no, so I'm gonna kill myself. Go for 4 hours of that one, 4 hours of that one, 4 hours of that one, and it wasn't enough for me to go around. And so I just said, you know what? Let me just change the number. So I did. And Ms. LaFrieda, my first lady, she couldn't even get in touch with me. I couldn't do it. I went back to my old job. I was making good money. It was good. It could have been a good business. But I didn't know business sense yet. I had to learn. I should have went to school. I didn't learn, you know, how to operate a business. And this scared me. And it was hard work. And I didn't want to do hard work. If I didn't be, I don't like to work hard. But I couldn't hire anybody. But I thought about God said, if you take care of my business, I'll take care of you. And he did exactly that. And so I said, okay. I just give this up and go back to work, and I did. And it was a struggle, but you know what? I became convinced that God would do exactly what he said he would do. All he wants us to do is do what we're supposed to do on our side. Live holy and serve him, and he'll have us back. He will. And I was so grateful. I didn't tell him, you know, I had to apologize and tell God I love him and thank him so much. But I couldn't handle it. It was too much for me. Amen. He will give you an overflow. That's the God we serve. He will give you more than enough. More than enough. Amen. He don't give you no little bitty things. You give, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Shall man give it to your brother? He uses little Jewish woman to get you everybody and talk on what we're talking. And if I had business to spend, I thought I would have had a big lucrative business going on right now. But I got scared and quit. Tired would be more the word. It was too hard. But if you put God first, if you got business sense, and you want to find it, put him first. I promise you, he will bless that business right back. He will have more than you can even drink. Hello. If you do what's right with giving your tithe and your offering to the church, giving to people that are in need, and don't be. You know, some of us, we start businesses and we charge astronomical prices on stuff that you could get anywhere for little or nothing. And we just want to try to beat people and do them. Then we give them bad merchandise. If you don't own a business, get the best. Come on. And then get mad because folks don't do this patronize. I tried. And it didn't work. Come on. Amen. And so, God's judgment. It's going to have a thick rise of smoke, as it's verse 27. Let's go to verse 27. My mom's true. I said I thought I was going to get to 31 tonight. Fine. What time is it over there? Okay, verse 27 says, behold, the name of the Lord coming from far, burning with his anger, and a burden thereof, and heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. Glory to God. God's judgment will have thick rising smoke with it, and the words that will devour like fire. You can compare that to it in the 33rd chapter. We get there, 14 verse, and also in Luke 12 and in Hebrews 12. People who grew up in church, they backslide. They're the main ones that complain when a preacher preached about the wrath of God. And how God is going to come down on them. That's fine. You know, they want to get upset. But God's wrath and his anger are both so very real. And they are designed for those who rebel against him and hate him. They're not for his children. That's enough. We fall under that because we join in and align ourselves with the wrong people. But the wrath of God is not designed for his children. We fall under his anger when we get hard-headed and stiff-necked and fall away from him. He's not just set up. He don't wake up. Well, you don't sleep, but he ain't just getting up soon as you get up in the morning ready to bash you in. That's not the kind of God. He's ready with a blessing for you. All he wants you to do is line up with the blessing. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. Don't we get it? That means everything in the Glory to God. It's finished. What you need? God. Yes. And he takes pleasure in giving it to you. People who grew up in church, they know this. They don't want to get slapped upside the head. Right? All God hates is they hate God's word, so thereby they hate God. And not for those that are humble themselves and they love God. He says, I am my word of one. Those who love the word of God, those who don't mind reading the word of God, those who don't mind obeying the word of God, those who don't mind living by the word of God, those are the children of God. Remember outside the room of Lazarus. You're imagining when this master, your mother, your brother, or out there, even with my mother, my brother. But he said, he's my brother and my mother. Mary was outside waiting. His mother gave birth to him. But he said, this is my mother. Only she obeyed her. She's my mother. This is my brother. As long as he obeys God. Hello? All you're not supposed to do is to obey him. We have a kindred with him. A kinship with him. We are heirs, amen, to the call of God. But guess what? The soul that sins, it shall die. Glory to God. Amen? I'm going to cut off right here. I'm not going to go into chapter 31 because we won't finish before time to cut off. How many minutes we got here? Can I finish? 8:35. But 31 is like short. Okay, let's go to 31. Chapter 31. Talk about futility of trust and needs. Beautiful means what? Can somebody tell me what beautiful means? Beautiful means waste. God lost. They ain't going to come to nothing. So it's beautiful to trust in the enemy, to trust in Egypt, to trust in things that can't. There's nothing better in God, nothing more powerful than God. So it's futile to trust in anything but God, okay? But verse 1, chapter 31 says, Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. My God. And see, there was that, another reason, too, is they, what he said here. Because they had chariots and strong horses. Horses was a real commodity in those days. I mean, most of the time, people that had horses, you know, they were wealthy. And I can imagine they were big, huge animals. Horses are big. I stood next to one, and I don't like them. They're just huge. So, verse 2, let's go to verse 2. Yet also, he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his word, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians, verse 3, are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. I mean, wake up, people. So when the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall. And he that holds him shall fall down, and they shall fail together. How bad they are. Giants, somebody say giants do fall. For thus saith the Lord in verse 4, spoken unto me, like as a lion and a young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself. For the noise of them, so shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. 5:6-7. As the birds fly, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. So turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your hands have made unto you for your sin. So turn back to God is what he's telling us. That God is going to preserve you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to save you. So turn back. And it was wrong for Judah to look to these other nations to help and not listen to the Lord their God. three things they did wrong. One, they were trusting in man instead of God. Judah sought protection for those who were powerless compared to God. Judah fell right along with Egypt because of their arrogance. So when the enemy go down, you're going down with them. Hello? You trust in them, you will fall with them. God said it, I confounded it right along with them. And the second thing they did, they served their own interests instead of God's interests. And they did not even consult him. They violated God's rule. God's rule in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 16. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. They went back and did the same exact thing that God told them not to do. And the third thing he did, they did not want to turn to God and repent of their sinful ways. How about that? When we got problems, it is good, better even, for us to seek help from God. But we must never bypass God. When he gives us direction, follow him. Follow his leading. When you fall into calamities because you ignore his directions, you ignore his word, and you fall into calamity, how do you want to listen to him for help? See, I'm trying to tell you. Of course, you won't say that. Thank God for grace. But you know, you tell somebody and then they go and do it their own way and then they fall down and they become to you. Well, I'm trying to tell you. That's what we do. Verse 7. Some days they will recognize that their idols are not the only thing for men. They were made, objects made for the hands of men, and they don't have to get rid of them. Idols such as money, like we do today, fame, or success, or judgment. We, today, like I said, our version of success is money. How much money? Power you hold with that money, how much prestige you have, and you know how seductive you are. You know things that, in our thoughts, and our time, and our energy, things that rob us of our devotion to God. Those are our idols. But first, it seems exciting when we get these things. But the promises end is clear. How many knows that? The drugs felt good when they first tried, and that's the thing, but thank God, I didn't try. When they first tried them, they felt good. They felt good to them. Take the good and bad off. But then they became slaves to it. Selling felt good. Really, he felt good. But then he became a slave. No. Getting away with stealing, and all that, they can do that again. And you become a slave to it, they can't trust you.
Likeness of God, he hates us all the more. The devil don't like you.
lying, my mom always said, you lie, you steal, you steal your kids. But you got to lie, and now you're going to start stealing. How about that? They say, now you got to help, so you got to kill them, but guess what? God bless you. God bless you, amen. We thank God, amen, for learning how to respond to prophecy. We can't get a word from God and just keep on doing our own thing. It don't profit us nothing. And I can't say that I live this life for this many years. Tomorrow, I'm going to be years old. I have a birthday coming tomorrow. And I can't say I live this many years, amen, and end up in hell. Now, the most of my adult years, I've served the most. And I can't say I live all these years, and I can't do it. I'm sorry. If I have to tell you the truth, then I will. Thank God. I'm going to tell you the truth. If I have to walk away from you and leave because you're drawing me away from God, I won't go away from you. I'm great for you, but I'm walking away from you because my soul is too important to me. If I can't speak to God in the midst of my trouble, if I can't speak to God in the midst of my peace, that I've allowed you a thing to encamp me and to enslave me and to draw me away from my God, then I'm going to walk away from that thing. I intend to have that relationship till the Lord calls me home. Hello. Walking in my bathroom, in my kitchen, walking in my backyard, in the grocery store, riding in my automobile, I need to have a relationship with God. How many people in there feel that way? Well, I can talk to him, where he can come in and warn me before this. Warn me about my children before destruction happens. Warn me about my grandchildren, about the body of Christ that he made me a bishop pastor over. Warn me about this so I can warn them and tell them what thus said the Lord. I got to keep that relationship to go to you. Amen, amen. I remember the time that our children used to think that bishop was psychic or something. Because we used